Okay, so we were in the middle of the sugya yesterday, in which we were trying to bring a raya, what the din is of Arel Lagabi Maisasheni. And we ended up, we thought that we had ourselves a nice raya, because it didn't say Yesh B'Maaseru B'Kurim, Hashem B'Truma, Yesh B'Truma, Hashem, and I left it out. But we proved in two ways that it was Tana V'Shir. Tana V'Shir either because of the Seifa, two things were Tana V'Shir. And the last thing that we learned yesterday was that it's Tana V'Shir even in the Reisha, really. So that forget about that. So that was Shema Amina, that indeed we have a ton of a shear here. Therefore, Shema Amina, that we have no raya. Strange use of Shema Amina. Shema Amina, the last thing that I'm trying to prove is that, look, it's always ton of a shear, as Rav Ashi says, even a ratio is ton of a shear. Okay, so now we're going back to the question. Do we, in fact, have a raya about what the halacha would be of an oral when it comes to the din of Maaser Sheni? Toshma. Here we have an individual who, although he got a brit milah, still has little shreds of skin that are ma'akev the milah, and it sure doesn't take very much to be ma'akev the milah, especially if you learn that the reference to rov govav the atorah is just the ridge, then it's nothing. I mean, it's a tiny piece of skin would cover up rov govav, and you're talking about a millimeter of skin would be sufficient to ruin a milah. You may not even have noticed it, l'chatchila. And such an individual, despite the fact that he went through a brit, is eino ochel, lo betruma, v'lo bepesach, v'lo bekodashim, v'lo bemaaser. There you got it. Or it says beferish. So here it's telling us that a person who even has any boser that's ma'akeves amilah, it's overs for ma'aser. I mean, assume that when it says ma'aser, it means ma'aser dargan. Of course, the Maaser Sheni. Look, it's actually referring to eating Maaser Behema, which is Kachim. Or when it comes to Kachim, well, we know that indeed is a problem. No, come on, Maaser Behema, you listed Lo Bepezach, Lo Bekachim, Lo Bemaaser. I mean, isn't Maaser just a form of Kachim? So why would it be talking about Maaser Behema? So I know Kachim. And Pesach is not Kachim. The time at Milo Tanan Pesach, the Katani Kachim, that's not a problem, so obviously we're listing. No. Pesach and Kachim, everybody understands why I list that separately. Pesach and Kachim, I'm listing separately Tzriyacha, because over there, Itana Pesach, if it would have said Pesach, would have said, well, okay, of course, Pesach is a fair shepherd, Kolor Alo Yochobo, I understand that it's Ma'akev Akila, even Basar, even enough to be Tzitzi Ma'akev Zamila. Submit in the mail, I want to know. No, this is not a din that's unique to Pesach. It's not like a special drush of color or it's also Pesach. It's a din in Arelut that would apply anywhere. Therefore, so Kachim would have thought, no, it has to tell me, therefore, that there's even a din of these tzitzin that are ma'akvim by Kachim too. On the other hand, let's just say Kachim. I mean, Kachim, certainly, I would say to myself, oh, all Kachim are us. So Pesach, of course, is us. It must be that that's the marker. Not necessarily. Because I would have viewed Kachim as shorthand for Pesach. Asr b'Kachim, meaning the Kachim in which it says Oral is Asr. So Havamina, my Kachim, Pesach. So that don't ask me why it says Pesach in Kachim. But to try to tell me that it could say Maaser Behemah Kachim is no excuse for that. Kachim would include any variant of Kachim once it says Pesach. So Ela Maaser Behemah, Lamali, what possible reason could there be to tell me that it's talking about Maaser Behemah, and that has also for Nora. Okay, you're right. But you know what? You claim that Maaser Dagan has to be Maaser Sheni. I mean, why does it have to be Maaser Sheni? Why can't it be talking about over here that it's going, according to Rabbi Meir, and maybe it's Dilma Maaser Rishon and Rabbi Meir. Dilma Maaser Rishon and Sula Zarim. According to Rabbi Meir, there's not only a din that a levi is the one who owns the Maaser Rishon, but there's also a kedusha that's attached to Maaser Rishon, in which a zar is also to eat it. If a zar is also to eat it, then already that means there's levels of kedusha. According to him, we learn out the same isser that we would as we have by truma. So it's a similar to truma kind of idea, in which case, if it's also a zarim, we should assume also that it would be a din of arelut. I mean, how do you know that it's referring to Maaser Sheni B'Chlal? Okay, you showed me it's not referring to Maaser Behemah, but I don't know that it's necessarily referring to Maaser Sheni, which was our question. Maaser Sheni, which does not have Kedusha on that level to ask it to anybody. Toshima, okay, let me bring you another raya. V'detoni Rebbe Chiya Barav Midifti, Arel Asur B'shtei Masra, just to make it very clear, okay? Now, yeah, I need to stop, drink me a cup over here, which Masra? I'll bring you a brisa that says both. Ah! I mean, I assume that both would mean my la v'chad maser dagam v'chad maser beima. No, I mean, I say the same thing. Once a year, it doesn't say anything about kosher, okay? So if it says both maserot, we got to include the maser beima. I mean, that you're happy about. So that means we're left with one maser dagam. Which one? It doesn't say. Is it referring to maser sheni? In which case, it would answer our question. Is it referring to maser rishon? And he's going to leave it to Rabbi Meir that holds it in Eskidusha. Sorry. Okay. I got another price up my sleeve. Toshma. Onein asur b'maser. Umutar b'truma u'b'parah. So you may have one of those contrasting one to twos kind of list so that we can remember the halachas. Okay? So an onein. Now an onein is obviously asur b'maser. That's a given. That's where it says the isur onein. He, however, is mutar b'truma, as we were medayik yesterday, and we'll see more today, is mutar b'truma, and there's no issue of an onein when it comes to the Pora Aduma either, because the Pora Aduma is better kabayas, it's not kosher mizbeah. If a tful yom is mutter, kosher ken an onein would be mutter.
For what?
With the Pora Aduma? All the upright of the Pora. That's what the Yizah Ish Tahar, who we learn it from. The Hazoya, particularly, is not a problem. Even though it said that's where it learned, but Ish Tahar, we learned yesterday. So he would therefore be kosher now for Parah, and the Tful Yom, on the other hand, would be Aser B'Truma, but he would be Mutter in Parah and Maaser. That we know, the Tful Yom, that we were Medayik yesterday, the Ishtahar. And the Tful Yom, as we'll see later, we've spoken about again in the past as well, but we'll go over it again, that a Tful Yom is Mutter B'Maaser, because it says V'Taval, and that's enough. Once you Tovel, so then that's it, V'Taher. Mukhoza Kippurim, on the other hand, is Asr Bipara. And now, why is he Asr Bipara? If a Tful Yom is Mutter, Koshkan and Mukhoza Kippurim should be Mutter, no? Yeah, but a Mukhoza Kippurim, you see, all it said in the Torah is Ish Tahor. Now, I could have said Ish Tahor would mean he has to be at least Harif Shemesh, but he's kosher if he didn't bring his carbonates. Instead, we say the opposite, which is strange, because usually, I mean, it would go in the other direction. Because you would say, okay, you need at least Harif Shemesh, and okay, Mechuzi Kippurim not so makbanot. Over here, we're saying it's the opposite. Mechuzi Kippurim actually would be makbanot. If he were a tummy, it was Mechuzi of Kippurim also. So it'd be like a Zav, there was a Baal Shalash Riyas, and so he needs to bring a carbon, or it would be a Mitzera. Then he wouldn't be able to do the para. And then the fact that he even had Erev Shemesh, that's not going to help. Isn't that a little strange? I mean, the lack of Erev Shemesh, which is a higher level of Tumah. But the reason is because Mechuzah Kippurim is Mechusar Maaseh. He still has to do something to make himself Tahar. And if it's not going to be done, he's not going to become Tahar. Once a person goes to the Mikvah, the sun is going to set. And therefore, it's not considered to be a Mechusar Maaseh. It's out of his hands. He already began the process, which is now onto its own mechanisms. So, all right. So, therefore, we have a case of a Mechuzah Kippurim, which, interestingly enough, has in it now an Isser Lagavik Parah, but it, too, remains Murtah B'Truma Maaser, as we're going to see later, by Maaser, even the Tefillah itself is sufficient, by Truma Winin Arif Shemesh. We're going to be Medayik all this in detail from a second later, but these are all halachas we discussed before. We saw them before. We know that these are the things. So, we have three patterns of one and two. Something was Asr one, and it's Mutter in two. Now, if, or El, you see, would be mutter in maaser. We got another one and two, because we already know that RL is mutter when it comes to para, and we already know that RL is aser when it comes to truma. If we've got a one to two mutter to aser situation by an RL being mutter also for maaser sheni, then that suggests itself as needing to be included over here, because it's another list of one and two. So the oral, we would say, is asur b'truma, mutter b'parah b'maaser. Leaving that out is just impossible to excuse. I mean, it's the only other case. It's a one to two relationship of an asur one, mutter, and two of the others. These three cases that we're contrasting all along, truma, parah, and maaser sheni. How can we leave that out? So this seems to be an absolute proof that indeed, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, the oral couldn't possibly be mutter. He must be usher, and that would explain why we wouldn't list it here, because we can't say he's usher in one and mutter in two, which was the pattern. Well, says the Gemara, that's true. I mean, we've already anticipated this issue before. Remember, I mean, high time of the very revision, Rabbi Akiva. Remember, whenever we have something that looks to us different than the way we were learning the din of Arelut, we always said, Rabbi Akiva, he holds ish. Ish means that an oro is essentially a tummy. That was Rabbi Yossi's approach earlier. Rabbi didn't like it, if you remember. So, I don't really like that. Why does it ever say that? Okay, but here the Gemara may actually, I'm going to point this out, the Gemara over here seems to be taking for granted Rabbi Yossi's approach. That if you hold oro as ketame, it would mean across the board would be ketame. And therefore this Tana could be the Tana of Rabbi Akiva, according to whom an oro is essentially a tummy. The Tana Rabbi Akiva Omer, ish rabot et ha'arel. Okay, now, who is the, I mean, can we identify actually a Tana that's polygale to Rabbi Akiva? This is another one of those examples where everybody has got shot in this next piece. And the Gra says, what a shame, all of that tircha, just because of a wrong girsa. It's actually here in the Agos HaGra. Tevot elu mechukot, v'kama dachaku b'zeh mefoshim. It just doesn't belong here. So Rashi understands the Gemara as follows. We're asking Mantan of the Polygalet Rabbi Akiva in terms of Ish Rabot et Arel, which is really strange. I mean, we already saw before that there were two approaches. Were we learning out from Tosha Masachir, or whether we learn it out from the Ish? Okay. But who would be the Mandiram that would argue with Rabbi Akiva in this particular issue? It's the Tana, who is the Tanakama of the Braita of Rabbi Yosef Habavli. The Tanya. Srefat onen umechusar kipurim. If now you would have an onen or a mechusar kipurim going ahead now and doing the srefa zapora, so that would be kasher. Yosef Abavli Omer, no, an onen is kasher, but a mechusar kipurim, as Rashi explained earlier, is a mechusar maisa, and that's not ish tohor. So that means that we have a machlokus over here in the halacha of, yes, I doesn't say a word about oral over here. So what does this have to do with who is the one who's arguing on Rabbi Akiva with whether an oral is considered? Well, says Rashi, I mean, if we find that they argue about this, then they probably argue about that. So if they're arguing about a mechusar kippurim, it's reasonable that they'd be arguing about oral also, because we do find a person who's arguing when it comes to the question of the heter. Says Tosfos, what? What does that have? What does that have to do with the other at all? But just because he's machshir mechusar kippurim, so therefore he's going to be machshir and oral. The two were never listed together. So again, I mean, according to the Gra, it never said Mantan the Polygalet of Rabbi Akiva. It's who is the author of the Braita, that if you're telling me that this Braita is going like Rabbi Akiva, would there be someone who is indeed arguing on the things that we said before? We're not talking about the Drush of Oral. We said, yes, indeed, there's a Machlokas about Mechusar Kippurim, which you took for granted. So, okay, that is the following Tana. We can identify it. It's Mantana, not Mantana Napoleon. And that leaves everything very clear. We were not even looking for somebody who was arguing on Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Okay. Now, there's also another Mandiyama, not only Rabbi Akiva. You've identified the bride as Rabbi Akiva. The truth is Rabbi Yitzchak also holds an oral is usher for Maaser for another reason. Very interesting reason. And the truth is, this too, we were merames on before, where we were dashing shalash b'benems. This is finally what the Gemara was referring to earlier, Mitzvah Rabbi Yitzchak. There we just explained, Rabbi Yitzchak means the way we're going to use b'benem. But here is the Rabbi Yitzchak. Gemara Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin la'arel sha'asu b'maaser. I'll show you that an arel is asu b'maaser, because it says, mimenu from ma'aser. And it says, mimenu when it comes to Pesach. So we have the lo achalti boni mimenu, for instance. Lo tochal mimenu no bashel mevushal, for instance. We'll see there's lots of mimenu. So therefore, ma mimenu omer b'Pesach oral aser. But by Pesach, it is the fairish that an oral is aser to eat the carbon Pesach. Kol orel lo yochal bo. And therefore, afimenu amur b'maaser, an oral is asurbo, and it's as if it was written in the din of maaser sheni itself. Well, I sure hope that this is mufni, man, because if it ain't mufni, you don't have very much of a drosha. You've got to have an extra pasuk over here to make this gzeirah shava, despite the fact that it makes no sense. Because you lo mufni, I could simply ask you, what's the comparison? I can compare a case where the Torah gave all these special dinim, pigel, neser, tamei, for Pesach, and the truth is, of course, we could have said, which we should have said, pinkaks. Because it says we could indeed have said pinkaks, but okay, sometimes we just do a shorthand, which is like other cultures of Pesach. But, so pigel, neser, tamei, fine, we don't even have to come on to pinkaks. But in any event, I mean, it's so completely out of range. Pesach from Maaser Sheni, I mean, it's just full of all kinds of chiyuvim. So how can you compare Maaser Sheni to Pesach? A lie? Oh, absolutely. If me a mufni, of course it's extra. Okay, show us. My mufni. Omar Rav, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Look, what Rabbi Yitzchak really darshan over here was six separate occurrences of the word mimenu. Three of which occur with the Korban Pesach, and three of which occur in Maaser Sheni. So we have Tlata Mimenu, Ktiva B'Pesach. Let's start with the Mimenus that are written by the Korban Pesach. Al tochlu Mimenu, na u'bashel mevushal. Lo totiru Mimenu ad boker. V'hanotar Mimenu ad boker. Beish tisrof. That's an awful lot of Mimenus for a Pesach which is following now one after the other, in which it would be very clear to me that we're referring to a Korban Pesach in context. You're not to keep saying from it. Well, of course, from it. What else are we talking about? Pinkaxes? So therefore, we've got an extra one. Now, why three? I'll tell you. Chad legufe. So one, inokinami, that comes to tell me that this halacha is only said on the Korban Pesach itself, and it doesn't mean you won't be able to eat matzah maror and so on. It's a din in the Korban Pesach. Okay, that's a halacha of legufe. And then we have Chad Gzeirah Shava. Uh-huh. So we got one extra. That's just for the purposes of this Gzeirah Shava, to teach that Pesach is the same as Maaser Sheni. If a Pesach has an oral that's also, Maaser Sheni has an oral that's also. That's the Mufne one. But of course, once we're coming to already explain Reb Yitzchak's approach to the Dinamum of Mimenu, let's go all the way and see the whole thing. The Chad Gzeirah Shava, we said. The other one is coming to say, look, since there's a Mandi Omer who learns out from here, notar mimenu ad boker means that you want to make this into a law of anita klase, lota tir mimenu ad boker, and then notar mimenu ad boker, beish tisrofa. So the Torah is coming to tell me that these two things are interrelated. And if you have now nosa that's left over and you burnt it, that's the way to be metaken, being over the notar, not other approaches like malchus. It gets into the question of whether you're lokin or lavshin. But mice and so on, again, this is not particularly our sugya. So according to him, since it has to write the notar again in order to tell me this halacha, so it also writes the mimenu together with the notar in order to make the pasuk function as this diyut. Well, Amandi Omar, there's another Amandi Omar who says the reason for the notar mimenu ad boker beish tisrofu is also the ad boker's extra, right? Lo totir mimenu ad boker. Va notar mimenu ad boker. All you have to say is va notar beish tisrofu. Why ad boker? That's litein lo boker sheni l'sreifato. That's in order to tell me that the burning of the Korban Pesach takes place not on Pesach, but takes place the next morning after Pesach, with Chol HaMoed. So there, it also says Mimenu, because since it has to say Ad Boker, Ktivnami Mimenu. It's a little odd that we needed to say two different types of Agav, and there's a very interesting oracle in there who analyzes why it is that each one of them would have required the Mimenu in a different way. And he works out in terms of the smichut of the words that were trying to be Doresh to the beginning of the pasuk, and unless we put in the pronoun once again, we wouldn't be able to prove that it's referring back to the chiyav that we had earlier, to add a second. Okay, interesting approach, but some approach is needed in order to explain why the Gemara has to bother going, well, this is about the Yom HaTov. Just say, kiva detziv, vanosu, mimenu, So it says also Vanoisim in the second time, Nachkamina, which drush you're learning out from it. So it's very, very suggestive of there being indeed a different interpretation of the smichus of the pasuk. But again, what's important to us is, Baruch Hashem, we got ourselves an extra mimenu, and now we're happy, because we're saying it's mufta, okay, it's mufta, says Rabbi Yitzchak. I hope that you're happy now. Says the Gemara. Okay, well, before we get there, so let's go through the mimenos that are written by Maaser. I mean, not that I have to, because I'm sure you're happy now. Of course, we're not necessarily very happy, are we? Because we may need mufta mishneit studim, I'll leave the Rebbe. But Rabbi Yitzchak is trying to studiously avoid that problem. So let's go into now the other mimenos. We got three mimenos in Maaser as well. I mean, we were sort of hoping maybe one of them would be extra, but it's going to turn out it's not. So t'lasa mimenot tzibim ma'maaser. So we have inavinam. We have chad legufe. So we need one of these psukim to tell me indeed the halacha of maaser itself. I'm not allowed to eat it by any means. Bechad is to tell me, Lulu Rabbi Avu said before that it's mimenu, but not when it comes to shemen shel truma shenitma'ah. Over there, it is mutter to use the shemen shel truma shenitma'ah, even though maaser, you're not allowed to use betameh. Truma, you can use betameh. And there's one extra one. The extra one was for Reish Lakish's drush. What's that? Don't remember any drush Reish Lakish. I haven't told you yet. Domer Reish Lakish, Omer Rabbi Simoi, Minayin Lamaser, Shenish Nitma, Shemutar Lasocho. How do we know that even though Sicha is the equivalent of Shtiya, and even though we learned out before, you cannot be Mevayer, the Artemi Men of betameh. So you couldn't take oil that would be tameh and burn it. Surprisingly, you can take oil that's tameh and rub it, which is really strange, because usually rubbing it on your skin is the equivalent of drinking it, and that for sure was us. Right? So what's the... It's machlokes, little machlokes, Rashi tells us the big chiddush over here, the fact that it's not considered to be biur betuma, or it's not considered to be achila betuma. Rashi says, okay, it's a achila betuma, it doesn't learn the chiddush is biur betuma, but in any event, where would I learn that from? Is this a big chiddush? Huh? I know that from the following, says Reish Lakish, from the third mimenu. Shinemar velona tati mimenu lamet. Uh-huh. So in other words, I did not give this meiser sheni that was in this situation to a mate. But, in other words, I could give it to a chai in the same way that I would give it to a mate. Well, I mean, what thing would be the equivalent of giving to someone who's dead or giving to someone who's alive? So, I mean, dead's not going to drink it. So the only thing that you could do, that you could say, I didn't do it to a mate, but I did do it to a chai, is rub it on him. So the mate also is anointed in preparation for burial and so on. That I didn't use it for, but I used it to the equivalent way for a chai. So there you go. So you now have a raya that it's okay to be sach. Interesting. Avi Omer is sicha. The only thing that is similar of a mate, the shava b'chayim a mate, is sicha. The Torah is clearly telling you that even though I told you you're not allowed to be a mavayer b'tuma, you are allowed to be sach. Master of Marzuch, I mean, is there lots of things that, how about buying tachrich? So I didn't use the money. You can go ahead, you can sell your ma'aser sheni. I mean, anybody's allowed to sell the ma'aser sheni. Use the money to buy tachrichim. I didn't use the money to buy tachrichim. I could pay that. Use the money to buy tachrichim. No, I didn't do that. So maybe that's the pshat. I'm not talking about sicha. It's talking, I didn't buy a coffin. I didn't buy tachrichim. Even though it was tameh, and even though I couldn't eat it, I didn't say to myself, well, if I can't eat it, I might as well use now its value for an iron of tachrichim. Okay, but for a chai, to buy a chai clothing, or to buy him a home, or whatever, so even though when it's tohar, I can't use it for other purposes, I need to use it for eating, or for drinking, or for tzicha, but maybe when it's tamei, that's what it's telling me, that it's mutter, I can now be mechalal it onto money, and I can use that money to buy myself a new suit. Why not? And that's true, by the way. So it certainly makes sense that that could be a perfectly normal way to understand the pasuk. Lo natat mimenu pidyon, by Zashen Yitameh, lo natat mimenu lamet. But an equivalent thing of buying a suit for a chai. That I did do. Omri, when the Rebbe of Yeshua, because even if it's true, it's not what the pasuk is coming to darshan. Because the point of the word mimenu It's not its monetary value. It's from it, migufo. That's the whole point. So it's got, then I'm asking you, what possible use of the very material of Meiser Sheni could be done for a mate? Not the value. The only thing I can come up with is oil of Meiser Sheni to use for a mate. They're saying that I didn't do, but the equivalent usage that I would have done for a mate, I certainly couldn't give him a drink, make him salad dressing out of it. So it's got to be talking about for a chai in terms of sikha on the skin.
Only oil.
Only oil? Enough, you know?
That's not a problem for possible to be focusing
on. No, whatever the case is. No, why? It's just saying I used it all correctly. Whatever parts I could use here, I used it. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, look, it's very simple. It's in the context of achila, right? Lo achalti mimeno, lo be'arti mimeno, lo natati mimeno. Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about Dumya to the lower chalti. The lower chalti, obviously, is not, I didn't eat the coins that I used to be paid with. It's, I didn't eat the Meiser Sheni. So over here, when it says the same thing, lamet, means it the same way. Mala alai migufa, afkan migufa. So now that I've given you all six mimenos, I hope you're sufficiently confused not to ask me the next obvious question, which Chris Moore does. Ve'akati, wait, it's very impressive. But it's only moved to mitzadecha. I mean, now, hey, Nikolamandi Amar, Lamedim, they may shiva. If you hold that having a Muslim mitzvah effort is sufficient to be Lamedim, and even though I have a problem with it, I can't now reject Xerah Shavuot as Muslim mitzvah effort just because I have a problem. Okay, you've done your job, Rabbi Yitzhak, thank you very much. And we've got a great Xerah Shavuot. The problem is, Lamandi Amar, Lamedim, Ume Shiva. Since it's only one of the Mimenos, on the Pesach side it's extra, but on the Meiser Sheni side it's not extra, now what are you going to say? Ma'ikalamima. Ah. That man, the armor, will say, we don't really need Rabbi Avu's drasha. Because Rabbi Avu's drasha, who said that I'm allowed to use shemen shatruma, that's tameh, and only shemen of my sheni, mimeno I'm not allowed to, lo biarti mimeno b'tameh, mimeno lo biarti b'tameh, avo biarti mimeno b'tameh av truma, and that would be okay. I don't need to learn that from here. You mean to tell me that if I wouldn't have known in Vidui Maaser, the din of Mimeno, I would have thought that Truma Tamea is not usable for lighting a lamp with? Absolutely not so, because we have another famous drasha. I know it not from Rabbi Avu's drasha Mimeno, I know it from Rabbi Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua Nafka. The Amar Rabbi Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua. My diktiv, ani hinei natati lecha et mishmeret terumotai. What's terumotai mean? Mishmer Trumotai is Lashon Rabim, telling me, B'shtei Trumota Katuv Medaber, there's two different Trumot that are being referred to over here that require a Mishmeret. Achat Trumat Torah, v'achat Trumat Tameah. It's telling you, take care of my Trumot, whether it's Tameh or Tar, and I give it to you. Natati Lecha. Now, what, I asked you from eating it if it's Tameh, so what did I give it to you for, huh? Aha! So you see, Amar Chonelacha, Shalchate, do whatever you please with it, as long as you don't eat it. If you want to use it for burning as a fuel, go ahead and put it into your oven and use it for your thermos. I mean, it's not a problem. Shaking when it comes to, surprisingly, to Maaser Sheni, we're more Mashmer, because Lovati Mimenu B'Tameh. So over there, I need now the Drasha to tell me, okay, but Lamaisa Sicha would be a tremendous Kiddush. So it's strange, it's more chomer in a way than truma, less chomer in terms of the actual use for sikha as opposed to beer. We come up with some very fascinating dinim just because of the way the Torah puts these two halachas.
So now it's
muflim shnei tzadi, because one of the mimenos we thought comes to me mimeno, but not from truma, but if I hold of Reb Nachman's drasha, I don't need mimeno belong to truma. So that, in Avinami says, but what if I don't hold of Reb Nachman? Fine, so you're right, Reb Elazar requires to be muflim shnei tzadi. Obviously holds like Reb Nachman's drasha, not like Rabbi Avu's drasha, and now Hakol Sharir V'Kayam. Fine. Okay. Now, you know, something else?
So, oral candy.
Oh. V'Kol HaTameim. All right, now. We said that the Tameim are Aser. You know what I mean? How do we know that a Tamei of any kind cannot eat Truma? Omer Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Kra, Ish, Mizera Aharon, Vohu Tsarua Ozav. So, as we've had this many times before, V'kodashim lo yochal ad asher yitzhar. All right. Now, if it says ishish bizera aharon, I'm asking you to think of this out for yourself. What are we talking about over here? Are we talking about the kochim that are eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, where it says over here, ozav bakodashim lo yochal? How could it be mizera aharon if only the men are allowed to eat it? So then it should say ish alone, but it's mizera aharon. You don't have to mention. Mizera Aaron means even the women, right? Where is it just the fact that this is Aaron's descendants, male, female, doesn't matter. Certainly can't be referring to Kochim. Those are given only to Zichri Guna. Must be Truma. Oh, no, wait a minute. You know that there are things that the females can eat. How about the Chazer V'Shok? Chazer V'Shok is given to all of Zera Aaron. You can take it home and eat it at home. Maybe that's what it means. You cannot eat the chazav shok if you're tummy, but truma maybe you could eat. It only says kachim, that's a truma. No, because chazav shok is not really given to all zera aharon. Because remember the very interesting halacha before, that a bat kohen who gets married to Yisrael, who dies, leaving her childless, she goes back to her father's home, strange variant of Yibum, goes back to her father's home, eats truma, but can't eat bimuram mina kodashim, but trumata kodashim lo tochal. So she can't act. So you see, therefore, that there is an element of zera aharon, namely a chozeret, who cannot eat. And here it says b'chol zera aharon. And this woman, we could say, is she not mi zera aharon? Why on her then does it say that she can't? Oh, it must be that that's what we're referring to. There's only one thing that can be eaten to all zera aharon, come hell or high water. And that is, even for a chozeret, truma. And now, wait a second. Truma, not halala. Halala can't eat truma. Now, halala is not called zera aharon. That's the point. The zera aharon is defined as the zera kosher of aharon. The whole point of halalut is that he's out of the set of the kuhuna. That's a very interesting finish. So, let me take that as a given right for a moment now, and go on to the next question that I have. It says, Ad Asher Yitar. Now, all along you're telling me that a Tful Yom is Asher Betruma, but not a Mechuzet Kippurim. So you're saying that that means Ad the Ika Harev Shemesh. How do you know it means that? Maybe Ad Asher Yitar means until he becomes fully Tahar, so that if he is a Zav Gadol, or he's a Tzeruah, wherever he would need, or she for that matter, she's a Yoledes, and she's going to be eating Truma, maybe we have to wait until after she brings her carbon. If she doesn't bring her carbon, it's not out of Sher Yitar. Lo Sakatai, you can't even consider that possibility. Because the Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael, that it's pointed out in this Braisa, that was said in the Beis HaMidrash of Rabbi Yishmael, that the Pasuk is not talking about a case of Mechuzet Kippurim. That's a given. We have to be talking in this Pasuk about who Tzaruah Ozav, we said, that Tzaruah Ozav in this case must mean a Zav who's a Baal Shtei Riyos. And a Baal Shtei Riyos is not Chayav in a carbon, so he's not a Mechuzet Kippurim. But you say, well, what about a Metzera? It's talking about a Metzera Muskar. Metzera Muskar also does not have to bring Korbanos to become Tahar. This is also not a Mechuzet Kippurim. And that's what it's got to be talking about. Because it mentions in the same Pasuk, Tamei Nefesh. So it means it's making now a set of Tmeim that are similar to Tamei Nefesh. Just like a Tamei Nefesh never is Mechuzet Kippurim because of Tumas Meis. So just like a Tamei Nefesh, Lav Bar Kaparahu. So the cases, other cases mentioned in this Pasuk are Lav Bnei Kaparahu to clarify to you. That what's important to us is not bringing carbonates, but rather we want you to know that it's sufficient to have Arif Shemesh. No, how do you know that? All it's saying is that in the event that you're not high of a kapara, you need Arif Shemesh. That's all it's saying. But how about if you do need a kapara? I mean, it's not telling you that in the event that you would have needed a kapara, we're talking about a Zav, or we're talking about a Yoledes, that then if she would have needed a kapara, she doesn't have to bring her kapara. Doesn't say that anywhere. So why don't we say that we could learn that maybe in a case, you're saying this case is not a case of kapora, thank you very much. But there are cases of kapora. So maybe in cases of kapora, you would need indeed a complete yitar. Just like over here, you need a complete yitar, it's not sufficient to go to the mikvah. So you're saying, but over here, it's maximizing it by Erev Shabbos, because the case is Erev Shabbos, is sufficient. It's like, okay, I would have thought that a case of Erev Shemesh is not so chomor. Maybe even without Erev Shemesh is okay for Truma, like we're going to see by mice. Gamashmal on that not. But if you need a kapora, maybe we have to wait until you bring the kapora. Furthermore, the two. I got another problem. I mean, you've only addressed one of the issues that concern me. One of the issues was that it's osir for the tvuyom to eat Truma. But there's other things that are not clear from the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that it's not Tabal va'ala ochel b'maaser. It's really weird. Three stages of Tyra. Somebody goes to the mikveh before he even has Erev Shemesh, he can immediately eat Maaser Sheni. Then, when the sun sets, he can now start eating Truma. Erev Shemesh ochel b'truma. And then, when he can bring his Kapora, at that point, Evi Kapora ochel b'kodashim. Now, it's all very nice to try to talk to me about one particular case. I mean, but you can't take this in isolation. The Mishnah is basically telling you that there's a process of Tahara for Tumah, and that each point in the process indeed is a level of Tahara, and it's a level that's commensurate with one of the levels of required Tahara, and that there are three levels of required Tahara in order: Maaser Sheni, Tumah, and Kachah. Which now are addressed by Tefillah without Erev Shemesh for Maaser, Erev Shemesh for Truma, and Avos Karbonos for Kach. To come and to take out of that one particular case and tell me, okay, here's how I know Truma. I mean, there's got to be some way of seeing all of these things in context. That's just how it occurs that in the Mishnah it's a context. Tell me how we know all of that. That's what I'd like to know. Minolam, where do we know that from? Amar Rav Amar Rav Chista, you're right. Let's take a look at it more globally. On a global level, we have to recognize that the Torah three times discusses the issue over here of Tyra, and it says it in three different ways. Now, this is what forces us to recognize that this is a process that has indeed three stages, because in the one place it says, "V'lo yochal min hakodashim ki im rachatz b'saro b'mayim." There it says, somebody who's tamei v'tamada, or if he touches something tamei, it says, "Asher tiga." He touches something, tomei, he's tomei ad ha'arev, and then he can't blow yocham ha'kadoshim until, surprisingly, rachatz b'saro b'mayim. Does anything about being tomei to this? Rachatz b'saro b'mayim. Mashma, that even though he's tomei ad ha'arev, rachatz b'saro b'mayim, then he can eat something that's called kachim. Now, there's another pasuk that says, ubo ha'shemesh v'taher, v'yachar yocham ha'kadoshim. Now that's clearly saying that it's not sufficient to just get into the water and come out. You have to wait until Ba'al Shemesh. And then we got a third pasuk that says, by the Yoledet, who requires Karbanot, it says over there, V'chiper alea ha-kohen, which is bringing her Karbanos, V'tahera, and then she will become Tehora, so that only then is she Ru'uya to eat her kosher. So how do you explain that? Three different types of Tahera. Okay, so how are you going to explain it? This is the marker. The fact that the Torah has these three things clearly, kan lemaaser, kan letruma, kan lekodashim. You know you're opening up a Pandora's box by saying that. Because now we got to figure out, how do you know that A is for A prime, B is for B prime? I don't know, maybe it's the other order. I mean, so now, of course, we're going to need to be mashva, the chiyuvim, in terms of the chumras of those three issues, and see how we knew to match them up the way we did, because Torah didn't tell us how to match it. It just said that there are three levels. So says the Gemara, okay, explain. So now how do you know? The Epochano, I mean, maybe do it in the other direction. You got to have a good source for this. Well, look, I mean, we're certainly not going to mix up which one is kosher for Truma and which one is now kosher for Maaser Sheni. I mean, certainly Truma is going to be more stringent in its requirements of Tyra than Maaser Sheni is. Because, I mean, we've got all along that the Truma is Adifa. We've spoken before about the din of Machpaz. We had our Sinin much earlier. So that it makes sense to say that it's more Chomer than the Maaser all along. And, says the Gemara, on the contrary, we never looked into the relationship of Meiser and Truma. We looked at the Truma and the Karchim. Okay, there we have Pinkatz versus Machpat. But over here, we've got Maaser being Adifa because it's a really nice Hadas. Hadas Tov. And the Hadas Tov, we've got the din of Hava'at Makom, which is, there's no din of Truma, I can eat anywhere. But Maaser Sheni, I have to go ahead and I've got to bring it to Yerushalayim, and it also requires now Dalid, which is Vidui, because otherwise, Dui, because otherwise I would get it mixed up from with some of the others, as we'll see. And furthermore, it's Osur for an Onain. Boy, we've gone out of our way to get out. It's Osur Betuma, as we said, Lo Biarti Mimenu Batame. And the test stands for two things, which is that if I eat it Betuma, I'm Loka, which is not the case with the Truma, as we saw, it's only in Isra'ase. And also it's a base, so it's Chayev in Biur. There's no din of Biur, even though we mentioned before, it does point out that really is a din of Biur Betruma, but the din of Biur Betruma is just to make sure you give it to a coin, not to get it out of the world. But when it comes to Maaser Sheni, this is din of getting it out of the world. So okay, so we've got Hey for Haba'ah, Dalet for Vidui, Samech for Asal Ainein, Tet for two Tumas. One, that it's the environment of Tuma. Two is that Tuma is Mechayev Malchus, both of which are Chumas over Truma. And then we've got Beis for Biur. And all of these things, which are six things, if we include those two, there's no Rashi, there's some Machlokes about it. Filo says, the Gemara, you're right. You've got six things over here. And Lechora, that's enough to outweigh the four Machpases, who pale in comparison to a Hadas Tov, except for one thing. Remember the Mem of the Machpas. The Mem of the Machpas is Misa. There is no Chiyav of Misa for the Akila of the Zion, which is the Zarus, when it comes to the Maaser Sheni. And that is such a big Chumrah. Afilo Hachi Mita Adifa. Clearly, Mita is such a Chumrah that we're certainly not going to start comparing Truma and Maaser. Of course, Truma is going to be more Chomer, and it's going to be needing the Arif Shemesh, whereas the Maaser is sufficient, the Taval, and that's Rachatz, rather, Besorah B'mayim, and that's sufficient. Rava says, even without the Mem of the Machpas, you couldn't say that. Yeah, that's not the point. You know, when you don't have to compare Machpas and Adas Tavs. It's, no matter what, without the Misa, without the Mem of the Machpas, it would still, you couldn't possibly say that Maaser Sheni is going to be more Chomer. Because the meaning, and if you look in the pasuk, Nefesh Asher Tiga, where it says Ki Imra Chatz B'Saro B'Mayim, what does it mean Nefesh? Nefesh always is inclusive of any Nefesh, whether Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, right? Well, what could we be talking about over here? To eat Nefesh Eizu Davar Shabbos Kol Nefesh. Certainly can't be Truma. Where can anybody, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, Zachar Nekeva of any kind, where are they all the same? Avi Omezim Maaser. So therefore, it's in the context of Maaser that it says, Ki Imra Chatz B'Saro B'Mayim, Nefesh Ki Tiga. Okay? So that, by definition, is talking about Maaser. It's not to discuss. We don't have to get into comparisons. Okay. I got you. But I still have the problem I had before. My problem is that although the Torah does discuss three levels of Tyra, is it not possible that the middle level of Tyra, which allows for Achila after Ubo HaShemesh V'Taher, is talking about a case where there was no Chiyav of Kapara? But how about where there would be a Chiyav of Kapara? Maybe it would be absurd to discuss Ubo HaShemesh V'Taher, since the Torah itself says, no, that's not the case. You first need to be the V'Tahera from the Kippur Le'al Kohen. So, I mean, you're saying these are two levels. Maybe they're not two levels. Two stages. Maybe they're not two stages. Maybe they're talking about two different tumas. One of them a tuma that doesn't have a Chiyav of Kapara, where indeed Ubo HaShemesh. The other one where it doesn't. There you need the Kippur Le'al Kohen V'Tahera. So I still don't. The problem I had earlier that you tried to divert my attention from by talking about this global approach, which is very impressive, I still have the same problem because I don't know that we're talking about a three-staged approach to Tuma. And maybe there's a three types that we're talking about.
Maybe
two types.
The person becomes Tama with something that he needs to.
Then he himself, other one, exactly. Can't even eat Truma. So we don't know that there's three stages even in a case where three stages are all present. The tefillah, the Erev Shemesh, followed by the Kapora. You haven't proven that. So Akate means I still got my old problem. My old problem being How can you prove to me that you need to, that you don't need to bring your kapara, and it's enough to have Erev Shemesh, maybe ad the maite kapara, says Abaya, I'll tell you, I can prove it to you. Because if you look in the story of the Yoledet herself, now the Yoledet requires kapara, right? That's the case. That's the case that we're talking about, the Yoledet. And then she can eat, the Torah. If you take a look at the story of the Yoledet itself, the Torah is making it very clear that it's staged and not different cases. Because you have one pasuk that says, by the Yoledet, it talks about the Shloshim Yom, Shloshim Yamim, the Shevet Mei Torah, and there, El HaMikdash Lo Tavo, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, up until what point? Ad Melot Yemei Torah. Now wait. So in other words, Melot Yemei Torah, and during that entire period, she is called Tfulat Yom Aroch. Her sun doesn't set until the end of that entire period. But once her sun sets, so to speak, remember, the setting of the sun is a technical term, meaning that she's now in a position to be able to bring a kapara. She's not in a position to bring the kapara until the entire period is over. 40 or 80 days, depending whether we're talking about a Zohar Nekev. So she's got a very long, she's a Tfulas Yom Aroch, a very long day, 40 days long. Okay, that's what happens when you live on other planets. 40 Earth days. That's the Tful Yom. So, on the one hand, it's telling you, but when that sun sets at the end of 40 days or 80 days, she's okay now. And then that very same halacha continues on to say, V'chiper Alea HaKohen V'tahera. And explain that. Which one is it? So clearly, within the same tumah itself of Yoledes, which certainly does require a korban, it's telling you that it's a staged tahira. Stage one would be the tefillah, we saw earlier. Stage two is melot yemei tahira, which in this case is the equivalent of harif shimsho, uba shemesh v'tahir, which of course in this case is not literally uba shemesh. And furthermore, v'kiper l'akoyim v'tahira. There you got it. Put the two together, what do you come out with? So we now know that we've got indeed stages. It must be the earlier stage is efficient for Truma. Erev Shemesh alone. Ignore the need for the Kapara. There's certainly no way that Yoledes can get away without that Kapara. But nonetheless, for her to eat Truma, she doesn't need her Kapara. And then if she wants to eat Kachim, she needs her Kapara. Again, Eipuchana. How do I know now that it's not the other way around? Well, again, we have our old standby. Kodesh is chomer because it's a pink ox. Right, so we've got all of our chiyuvim of the pigol and the noser and the tekarv and all of the simonim of pink ox. We're not going to go into it again, but we all know our pink oxes and our matpazes and our hadas tubs and so on. And we know all about our, those terrible things that happened, bidvara evet, we don't want to mention that. And things like that. So we keep all of our simonim in mind. And we've got our old standby. So Kodesh, as a pink ox, is more chomer. Well, on the other hand, Truma is more chasher. I mean, it's got that machbas spray. Yeah, but pink oxes are bigger than machbases. And Rava says, you don't have to go into the Hanak Mephishin business, which is one of Rava's famous approaches. You don't need to worry about how many there are. Without getting into the issue of whether machbas is smaller than pink ox, lo matzit amret, you couldn't think for a moment that we would need the kapora for the truma, but just the harif shemesh for the kachem. And I'll tell you why. Because it says, v'chiper alea hakohen v'tahera. Does it not say that? That was the marker. Okay. If it says v'tahera, now that is telling you, as clear as could be, that up until this point, she is not called v'tahera. She is called tamea. Okay? That's a given. Very good. Let's imagine for a moment that we're talking about kachem. Doesn't work. Because by kachem, it says, Abasar Shiliga, Bechol Tamei. Okay? Is she Tamei or not? Just tell me. It says here she's Tamei, because only later is it. It's not going to be talking about Kachin. Now, Tosis points out this is sort of a strange pasuk to bring, because we should have brought the pasuk that asks Tumas Aguth. We're not talking about the bus here, it's Abasar Shiliga, Bechol Tamei. Really, we should have brought the pasuk, Vitumato Alav Venichrita, would have been better. It says that it's just coming to tell me even a Kiddush. Do we even have a problem Tumas Boser on this? Kol Shekain that the Tumas Aguf, which is more Chomer. So therefore, forget it. It's got to be talking about a woman who is called Tamea, and nonetheless is allowed to eat, can't be eating Kachin. The most that the Torah could be machanish over here is that she's allowed to eat truma despite the fact that she's tamea. Tamea in what sense? Tamea in the fact that she needs a korban. But tohera in the sense that she's gone to the mikvah and she had already harif shemesh at the end of her 40 or 80 days.
What are we saying? That this
should apply to her instead of... Well, it would. In other words, the Torah cannot say on the one hand that she can eat mina kodashim mm-hmm. and still call her tamei. Because it says kol tamei by kodashim. So any tuma. And I'm telling you she's tamei. So then you're telling me she can't eat kodashim. So then why are you telling me that she's tahor? Because it's ad melodia metara. And afterwards what? She's still tamei. How could she eat kodashim? Go back now to the Harif Shimshon that we had earlier, and now we see it very clearly. Basically, these two drushes are interrelated. There are three stages. How do we know there's stages about different types? From your levis. And once we know that there's stages, we understand that the stages must be, as we've proven, Meiser, Truma, Kachim. Now we know.
Kachim for both, and she's called Tamei.
That's right, yeah, exactly. Elash, Mamina, the Truma.